Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families in Eastern Kentucky who have lost loved ones. So many have lost their homes due to the flooding. And in California, a number have lost their homes due to the wildfires and some loss of life there as well. And certainly we want to be of assistance as we have opportunities to do so and keep them in our prayers. So many other things going on, too numerous to mention. But it's good that we can study from God's Word together on this eternally important subject of authority. As we begin our study, respect for authority. That's a must. And then the second sermon was this question: what is our authority for what we do in religion? And it's either from God or it's from man. And it better be from God by staying with His Holy Word, that is, we're under the law of Christ. And then last Lord's Day, we asked this question: how can we know what is and what is not authorized by God's Word? We need to be able to rightly divide the Word of God. We're under the law of Christ, not under the law of Moses or the patriarchal law. And we need to be able to recognize things that, how they're different. And so we want to continue this Lord's Day, this extremely important question: how can we know what is and what is not authorized by God's Word? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. That's in Martinsville. Yes, we're gathering together in our Bible classes to study the precious Word of God. As we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit with a proper attitude, but also in truth, that is, in accordance to the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else we want to mention: if you're interested in having a Bible study, we would be most glad to set that up at your convenience. And also, if you have Bible questions, please send those in to us. Your comments, positive or negative, again, they're welcome. You can write to us. Our address again, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. So let's get back to our continued study and answering the question: how can we know what is and what is not authorized by God's Word? And so we start out with Colossians 3:17, as this would be a good text for our study. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, in the Lord Jesus. So in the name is really by the authority of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whatever we do in word or deed needs to be done by the authority of the Lord. And so word here would mean whatever we preach, whatever we're teaching in our Bible classes and individual teaching. That needs to be by the authority of Christ. Indeed, yes, what we practice, how we live, needs to be in accordance to the authority of Christ. So now let's get into the study of answering the question: how can we know what is and what is not authorized by God's Word? Well, we must establish scriptural authority by direct statement, number one. Number two, example. And number three, inference or implication. So let's study each one. So direct statements in God's word would include commands, such as Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is a direct statement that includes a command. As this was on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, the day the church began. Notice verse 37. Now when they heard this, that was the preaching by the apostles, proving that Jesus was the Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So we get to verse 38. Here is the direct statement that includes a command. As Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's that phrase again, in the name of Jesus Christ. That is, by his authority. For, here's the purpose of being baptized, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's an example of a direct statement that includes a command. So, let's look at two scriptures that are examples of direct statements, but they're not commands. For example, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, that's a direct statement that tells us how our faith is going to come, by hearing the word of God. But that's not a command within that direct statement. Now, as we go to Mark 16:16, a verse we all should know, as Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So that's a statement, direct statement. Well, it's not a command, as we saw in Acts 2:38, but it is certainly something we must submit to. It's binding, in other words. We must be baptized in order to contact the precious blood of Christ. But go back now to verse 15, Mark 16:15. Now here is a command with a specific and a generic general authority. Notice, and he said unto them, that is Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's a direct statement, but it's certainly a command, isn't it? Go. Now that is generic. What do I mean by generic? It's a general command. How do you go? Well, the Lord leaves that up to us. We can go by foot. We can go by boat, plane, train, by whatever means are available to carry out the command to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel to the lost. That's certainly a generic type command, to go. But what is specific is what we're to preach. We're to preach the gospel. You see, we're not left to ourselves to decide, well, we can preach the current progressive beliefs and we can preach about wokeism. No, we don't want to do that. You see the difference? We're to preach the gospel. That's specific. And we need to be able to distinguish between specific and generic commands. This is, you know, something we need to know as we study God's word. So we have direct statements that include commands. Now let's go to number two. Again, these are the ways that we establish biblical authority. Number two is example, such as Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So examples are given in God's word that must be followed. We need to certainly understand this. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. who serve unto the example. That's what we're talking about. And shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So here we have an example of Moses building the tabernacle. How did Moses build a tabernacle? According to the pattern that God gave him. So, an example in God's word must be followed as we observe the Lord's Supper. There's not a direct command to observe it on the first day of the week, but we are given an example of the worship service on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Sunday. Acts 20, verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, as we came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them unto midnight, ready to depart on the morrow. So as they came together, it was when? On the first day of the week. And what happened during that worship service? Well, they certainly partook of the Lord's Supper because they came together to break bread, which was a part put for the whole. They did all the acts of worship, all five, singing, praying, partaking of the Lord's Supper, giving of their means. And you see how Paul preached unto them there, ready to depart on tomorrow. So this is an example. You see how we establish biblical authority? Now, some think it doesn't matter how often you partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, it does. Here's a way of establishing biblical authority, and it is binding to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, because that's what the early Christians did. We're to do likewise. So, we must be able to distinguish between what is binding and what is optional. At this occasion of worship, they met in an upper room. Now, that doesn't mean we have to meet in an upper room today. That's not binding. So we must stay with the totality of the Bible and understand these differences. So let's go on now to number three, as we're again establishing biblical authority in these three ways of direct statement, example, and inference or implication. So by implication, that means that the Bible teaches without directly stating it, but by implying it. I do not find my name in the Bible, Bob Hawkins. Do you find yours? Well, you may have the name of John or Peter, but I'm talking about, what about your last name? It's not there. So that's by implication that the scriptures are for my instruction and for yours. You see, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Yes, we need to appreciate that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's nothing lacking. So that's inferred that that is for my instruction, and of course for yours as well. Now, so we need to be able to understand that there are things that are implied. Like with, here's an example to look at. It's not stated in the Bible that Paul repented of his sins, but we can be assured that he did. It's certainly implied that he did because he became a Christian. To become a Christian, one must repent. So you put that together, you see, and thus you can establish biblical authority by implication. In Acts 9 is the conversion of Paul, and certainly in Acts 2:38 they were told to repent the day the church began. Acts 17 verse 30, and Paul was preaching on Mars Hill, and he talked about repentance there in Acts 17, verse 30. So that's an example of implication. Now, we must be able to distinguish between inference or implication and assumption. For example, in Acts 16, verse 15, Lydia and her household obeyed the gospel. But some want to say that she had children in her household, and thus they are trying to use that to authorize infant baptism. Well, that's an assumption. You can't get an implication out of that. No, sir, because there's nothing there to say that she had children. You can't imply that she did, because it's nothing to take from the scriptures to make that implication. She was a businesswoman gathered there at the river to worship God. So Paul taught her the truth, and those with her. So that doesn't mean that she had children. You can't imply that. But let us go on, because we certainly want to deal with this and are answering the question, how can we know what is and what is not authorized by God's word? So we've seen we can be authorized by direct statement, including commands, by the examples that are in the pattern of the New Testament, and the implications, the inference here, that it applies to me and you. And so here is another point to make. We must recognize the silence of the Scriptures. And we go now to Hebrews 7:14. And we could also entitle this God's Law of Exclusion. Hebrews 7:14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing. He didn't speak about that tribe concerning what? The priesthood. So Jesus could not serve as a priest under the law of Moses because he was of the tribe of Judah. There's no authority for the tribe of Judah, for them that were in that tribe, to become priests. And Jesus was from that tribe, so he couldn't be a priest here on the earth. But he certainly can be our high priest, and is, in heaven. And we need to appreciate our high priest, of course, making intercession in our behalf. But God told Moses that the priests were to come from the tribe of Levi. Now, God did not need to say, well, not from the tribe of Judah, not from the tribe of Benjamin, not from the tribe of Dan, and so on, and go through all 12 tribes. That's not necessary. When you say it's from this particular tribe, this specific tribe, remember we talked about specific commands and generic commands. This is specific. Tribe is generic. That could mean, if you just said from a tribe, well, that could be any of the 12 tribes. But Levi, that's specific. So we need to understand that. And now we can go to an example where we should be able to make this distinction. God has revealed to us in His holy word that we are to sing. Now, is that specific or is that generic? Well, it's specific, of course. God didn't say to make music. Now, that would be generic. That would mean we could whistle, beat the bongos, beat the back of the pews, making noise like that. We could do all sorts of things to make music with instruments, of course, mechanical instruments. But God said what? To sing. That's specific. Notice with me, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, there it is, and making melody, where? In your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then the following verse, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Do we see the difference here between specific commands and generic? We better, because God did not need to say not to make melody on a guitar or on a piano or an organ or any other man-made instrument. He didn't need to say that, because He said what we are to do. And that is specific. And every one of us that is able to reason should be able to understand this. If you told an 8-year-old child to play Old MacDonald Had a Farm, to play it, the child, if they were able to play the piano, would know to play it. If you told the child to sing Old MacDonald, wouldn't the child be able to distinguish that to sing is not to play? But then you could say sing and play, and the child that's 8 years old would know to sing and play Old MacDonald, or whatever other song you want to mention there. But you see, the point is, we should be able to understand specific commands and generic commands. And this is so vitally important. God will not tolerate that which is not authorized. We need to know that. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15:9. Remember Cain, back in Genesis chapter 4, he offered a sacrifice unto God that was not acceptable. God didn't accept his sacrifice. He gave of the ground. But Abel offered the proper sacrifice, the animal blood sacrifice. You see, God accepted that because that's what God had authorized. And here's another example as we go back to Leviticus chapter 10. Here's the sons of Aaron, the high priest, Nadab and Abihu. The sons of Aaron, yes, in verse 1 of chapter 10 of Leviticus, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, here it is, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Do we see the seriousness of the situation? Now, they offered that which God did not command them. It was unauthorized. They went beyond what God authorized. And we should be able to understand this, that back in Exodus chapter 30, verse 9, that what they were to offer. But they offered strange fire. And we see that God did not accept it. In fact, God punished them severely. They were put to death. Now that ought to get our attention. I want to now refer to Brother Foy Wallace Jr. He well stated this. When God commands a thing to be done, He authorizes only the doing of that thing, nothing else, nothing more, and nothing less. Well, notice Moses did something else when he struck the rock. In Numbers 28 through 12, God had commanded Moses to speak to the rock, not strike it, as he did out of anger. And it cost Moses the opportunity to enter the promised land. Of course, God allowed him to see it from the mountaintop and then buried Moses after he died. King Saul, he did less than what God had commanded when he spared Agag, the king, and the best of the animals, 1 Samuel 15:9-23. God had commanded Saul to smite the Amalekite and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. To smite the Amalek, and utterly destroy all they have and spare them not, 1 Samuel 15:3. And as we just saw with Nadab and Abihu, they did more than what God commanded when they offered strange fire. You shall offer no strange incense thereon. Exodus 39, there was the command. So let's stay only with God's written word. The Bible is all we need. It thoroughly furnishes us unto all good works, as we quoted earlier, 2 Timothy 3:17, 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We are not to go beyond what is written. 1 Corinthians 4:6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. And no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Proverbs 36, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. We are not to take away from what is written. Revelation 22:19, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. 1 Kings 22:14, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. We're to hold fast to the pattern of the New Testament. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Romans 6:17, we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. There can be no faith where there is no word of God. Romans 10:17. How then can man please God by that which is not written? Therefore, we need to answer this question. Do we desire to please God? Then we must obey God's word. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered in being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:8 and 9. So we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the written word of God. We have to hear it first, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. Repent of our sins, Acts 2:38. Then we make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9 and 10. Now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Romans 6:3 through 6. As we come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, Acts 2:47. That's the church of Christ. He died for it. And thus we want to stay in the Lord's church until we die or the Lord comes again. We'll have the victory. And we thank you so much for listening today.